Hey, I'm Charlie.
I'm Dave.
And I'm Kyra.
And this... Kyra.
Wait.
What?
Yes, hi. I'm PFC Kyra Pearl.
From?
From 11th TTSB.
Which stands for?
Oh, I'm sorry. 11th Tactical Signal Brigade. 11th Theater Tactical Signal Brigade.
While we figure that out, listen to this.
Texas. They say everything's bigger here, and they're right. We've got big cars, big hearts, and even bigger stakes. This is beef country, Texas, home to the Alamo, the Cowboys, and the largest military installation known to man. So big, it has a big name. Fort Hood, the great place. It's got a Texas-sized podcast as well. And this is it, right here. Fort Hood's great big podcast. Yeehaw.
Okay, now, I think we figured out everything by now. So who are you, and who are you with, and what have you done with Brianna?
I'm PFC Kyra Pearl from 11th Theater Tactical Signal Brigade.
Are you sure of that?
Yes, I'm okay. Very sure.
And what have we done with Brianna?
She's actually being miserable right now.
Oh.
And no, not that. She is on the range.
On the rifle range.
In the rain. Home on the range, where the band shoots at targets all day. Because they're the band, you know, it's going to take them all day. We love you, band.
Well, if it ain't raining, it ain't training,
that's
right?
True. That is a very Army thing, and that's the truth. When was the last time you went to the range?
Probably in September, I think.
How'd you do?
I am not a good shooter.
You're not a good marksman.
See, I don't even know the right words.
Well, you're still new, aren't you?
Yes.
How long have you been in the Army?
About a year and a half now.
And here at Fort Hood for how long?
Since July, so.
Okay.
So, yeah, getting to know
half a year,
you.
I think.
Yeah.
Getting to know.
And where are you from in the world?
Oh, I'm from Missouri.
Hey, I'm from Kansas. We're next door. Yeah. We're neighbors.
You guys fought.
Howdy, neighbors. You're from Missouri.
Yes,
Missouri. You know what's funny about being in Kansas? We don't really have any big cities. We got Wichita. Mm-hmm. On a good day, it's 500,000 people on a good day. Okay? But because of that, we claim Kansas City, which is actually yours.
In Missouri.
There's a little bit of Kansas City that belongs to Kansas, but it's like suburbs and a couple malls and stuff.
Right.
The good stuff's in Missouri. The sports teams, the big city, the casinos, right. That's all Missouri, but we claim it.
I always thought it was weird that Kansas City is in Missouri.
But you're not big city Missouri, are you?
Definitely not.
Where is your little neck of the woods kind of located?
Like the Boot Hill end of the state. It's the very southeast. Okay. I'm from Cape Girardeau. It's like a town which on a good day has 40,000.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. How can you have a cape in Missouri? Shouldn't that be on the East Coast somewhere?
We're right by the Mississippi River, like we're right on it.
And
so.
if you're really from Missouri, or Missouri, as we like to say, Missouri, where's your accent?
I like to hide my accent.
Throw it out there. Throw it out there.
No, thank you.
Throw out the accent. Well, you're youngish. How old are you?
I'm 19.
19. Wow, that's beyond youngish. That's... You're young.
Hitting a new demographic, Charlie.
That's
right.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I was born in 2000, so.
Good. Wow.
Lord.
True millennial.
Well, I got a question for you.
All right.
Born in 2000. And this is something now I want people to understand. I was away from America for about 10 years. I was in Japan. I didn't deal with American stuff. I was gone, out of the loop, super out of the loop. When I left America, there was no Facebook. There was no Twitter. There were no smartphones. There was no Justin Bieber, all right?
He's Canadian.
That's true. Well, I'm sure he existed in the world.
All right, well, you know.
But he wasn't, you know, a thing. And it, interestingly enough, he's not a thing now anymore. Anyway, back to my point. So when I left, there were no smartphones. We had flip phones. This didn't exist.
Right.
I come back now after 10 years, mm-hmm. right? Rip Van Winkle here. When I go into the bathrooms now.
Where are you going with
this? I hear people on their phones while they're doing their business in the stalls.
Yes, that's
okay. I will be. I'll go in there and I'm hearing YouTube. I'm hearing movies. I'm here. What is this? This used to be a very private, secluded moment where someone came in and you were like ultra quiet. You didn't want people to know you were there. You were hiding your presence. And now it's almost like you're inviting people to, hey, this is what I like. While you're in here, I'm going to expose you to some new music.
Yeah, and here's SportsCenter. You know,
okay, well,
out.
I don't know why somebody would have it, like, with their volume, you know, on speaker or whatever, but...
So are you saying that the proper bathroom etiquette for watching stuff on the throne is headphones? You should come in with headphones?
Either or? That, or you watch it with subtitles and you have the volume really low, so you can hear it, because if you read the subtitles, you can hear what the sound is saying.
It's a whole new world. We used to read newspapers or magazines.
Right.
But you wouldn't bring a movie into the can. I mean, how long are you spending in there? I mean, what are people eating nowadays? It got them in there long enough to watch an episode of Friends.
So, Kyra, to change the subject, let's get away from the bathroom here a little bit.
I'm just inquiring minds.
What is your job? You know, this isn't your day job.
No, this
is not. So what did the Army train you to do?
I am a 25 November, which is fancy talk for, well, let me give you the job title. A nodal networking systems operator and maintainer.
Wow.
Which is fancy talk for communications and signal.
Okay. Okay. And do you enjoy that?
Like I said, I've only been in the Army for a year and a half, mm-hmm. so I haven't really had a chance to do my real job.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I have been on the line, we're usually just in the motor pool.
Now, you raised layouts. Your hand, and you're kind of like interning into public affairs, right?
Yes, I am.
You know you can make more money doing IT stuff on the outside than you can being a writer or a DJ or whatever this is.
Yeah, but whenever you're presented an opportunity to be able to do what you love to do, that's what you should take.
So this is what you love to do, is what you're saying? Yeah. Your heart is in public affairs?
Yes.
So then why did you take the job that you took?
My stepfather actually chose my job for me.
Well, there you go.
Is that legal?
Yeah.
Well, my stepdad was in the Army for 12 years as an infantryman,
mm-hmm.
and so whenever I wanted to enlist, which was like October my senior year, so I enlisted like 7 months before I could actually leave.
Mm-hmm. Right. Delayed entry.
Yeah, entry. So whenever I enlisted, he used to run the recruiting station, so they all knew him.
Right.
They just let him take the reins.
He's kind of the man.
Yeah, and I told him I wanted a job that if I got out of the Army, it would transfer over well. That way, if I didn't like it, I'd be
mm-hmm.
set.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, I know someone who loved this job, and he just...
And there was a bonus involved, right?
Yes, there was a bonus involved.
And
bonus
he was paid. Right. Mm-hmm. He was right, though.
He's absolutely That's right.
Fantastic. But now does he know that you're moonlighting in public affairs?
My stepfather actually passed away last February.
Now the show has become awkward. I'm sorry to hear that.
It's all right.
But he lived long enough that you could follow his dream.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yep.
That's fantastic. How are you getting on?
What do you mean?
No, I mean, with his recent passing, are you doing okay?
I mean, it gets harder around the 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. That's coming up.
Yeah, we've all lost people.
Yeah, we have.
You know, it's interesting. This is an interesting turn.
Mm-hmm.
But you're younger, and you don't think that the people you're going to lose are going to be around you. You know what I mean?
Right.
You see people, you read it in the newspaper, see it in the news. But the older you get, the more it hits home.
Right.
With that.
I'm actually glad we brought this up. So my stepfather passed away of his own choosing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a suicide. There's one in, I think the statistic is...
It's a pretty high number.
Yeah. There's a really high number for veterans and for enlisted soldiers and just people in the Army. So, I mean, it's sad to talk about, but awareness is really important to spread. Right.
No,
so.
it's super important, and there are numbers, if you're feeling down, that you can call.
Army OneSource.
Mm-hmm. 1-800-784-2433. That's the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. There's friends and family you can reach out to, and I know it can seem like you're up against the wall and you're truly convinced that you have nowhere to turn, but you do. You always do, and there are always people who are there for you, because that decision that you're thinking of making at that point, it goes so much beyond you. It affects so much more than yourself, and so that relief that you feel like you're giving yourself is causing so much anguish for people that you couldn't even believe.
That's true. Very true.
Yeah.
Well,
how are you going to get out of this one,
Charlie? There's no getting out of it. There's no getting out of it. It's an important thing. It's an important thing that we talk about and not shy away from. We are glad that you're here. We're glad that you're making it through it. And we've got a great show.
It's all about fixing stuff.
It is. Fixing stuff, fixing roads, fixing houses, fixing lives, fixing what's going on with those bathroom people. So we'll have all your fixings coming up.
After this,
that's correct. All right.
Let your voice be heard at BOSS.
What's BOSS?
BOSS stands for Better Opportunities for Single Soldiers, and serves the single service member community, active, guard, and reserve, as well as single parents, geographical bachelors, all U.S. military service branches, and foreign service members assigned to the installation. The BOSS program is based on quality of life, community service, and recreation and leisure. As a member of BOSS, have a voice in how you live, how you spend your leisure time, and how you support the community around you. BOSS membership and the program's available leadership and project management roles also will enhance your promotion packets. For more information about how you can become a BOSS member, visit our website at hood.armymwr.com.
If you've got problems and feel like you just can't get answers, there's a place for you to turn. The Inspector General's Hotline. They take your issues seriously. If you're at the end of your rope and need someone to reach out to, grab a pen and take down this number. 254-287-7209. That's 254-287-7209. The Fort Hood Office of the Inspector General. They inspect generals, so you don't have to.
It's what your tax dollars sound like. Fort Hood's Great Big Podcast.
Welcome back to Fort Hood's Great Big Podcast. Hey, you know the initials. GBP, Great Big Podcast.
Yeah,
right?
GBP.
What else is GBP?
Oh, the Green Bay Packers.
Yes. Who lost in the NFC Championship weekend. It's not cool.
They kind of packed it in, didn't they?
Yeah.
The Packers.
It's rough coming back from those. You're sitting there watching, and they were getting killed. It's 27-0 at halftime.
They were.
They kind of sort of made it respectable, but, you know, when somebody is already eating your lunch and you're just kind of watching it. And so I'm binge eating nachos and just root beer.
Well, you know, on the upside of things, which not really for you being a Packers fan, but me being from Kansas. Remember how we talked about Kansas sort of claims all that in Kansas City?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Kansas is absolutely mad about the Chiefs. They are.
Why?
Mad meaning crazy.
Oh, they love the Chiefs.
Crazy. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's like the home team. It's like our home team. But they sort of get like that with the Broncos, too, since they don't have one. So the Broncos, but yeah, now we're We're rooting for Colorado. But no, Kansas is crazy about the Chiefs. Chiefs madness sweeping the Sunflower State.
Kyra, are you into football?
I am not.
You are not into football. Man. February 2nd, the Kansas City Chiefs against the San Francisco 49ers, and they take it on the road to Miami.
Sort of like the Packers, which have taken it on the road all the way back home.
to Fort Living Room. They're done. But speaking of roads, we have our first guest. And our first guest is Michelle Lennis. She is the Construction Management Branch Chief of Fort Hood's Directorate of Public Works. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming on with us.
It's good to be here.
There's lots going on post. Tell us all about it.
There is a lot going on post, and we are hoping to make this place much better and easier tours for y'all as
Wait
we continue.
Wait a second. I thought it was already great.
It is great. We are growing. We're getting better.
All right. The better place.
Making it better every day.
Great, better place.
That's what I like. The great place, greater.
Mm-hmm.
That's our goal.
Making the great place greater.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll start. Y'all want to start with some of the main ones? Or
hey, Tank Destroyer.
Yeah, Tank Destroyer.
Let's start with the worst and work our way.
TD, in. Tank Destroyer. We love that road. So one of our heaviest trafficked east and west roads. We've already started. We're working over near the Mayborn Gate on the east side of Post. And we're going to continue with what they call mill and overlay. It's just replacing the top layers of asphalt for a wearing surface. It's going to improve our roads over time for longevity. We'll be going all the way to 72nd Street with that project. So pardon our mess as we continue to work along the road.
How far is that?
That is almost 3 miles of road that we'll be doing. We've already completed the work, some full depth repairs that we had to do at TJ Mills and TD. So again, thank you all for working around our traffic control plans there.
Sure.
We're about to start off on Ratton Drive. That's our next phase of a full depth repair as we continue to mill and overlay along TJ Mills.
Ratton Drive, that's the one by the hospital.
That's the one next to the old hospital, right next to the hotel, the large hotel.
Okay.
So we'll be shutting down actually the north part of Ratton Drive and actually doing full depth repairs along that road while we're crossing over with TJ Mills.
Okay.
So we only have to impact the traffic once.
Yeah. Okay.
So
we believe you.
I'm sure you believe me. So starting around February the 3rd, you will not be able to get on Ratton Drive from TD.
All right.
And that'll be shut down for about a month and a half while we do all those full repairs.
Clark Road. That's the other one.
Clark Road.
We're still on the north side, right?
We're still on the north side. We are.
Gates still closed.
Gates. Both gates are still closed. That's right. For the POVs as well as the commercial vehicles. We plan to be done. We've gotten our first three placements done of the new concrete intersection that's going to be placed there. And we should be done right around Valentine's Day. So happy Valentine's Day to everybody at Clark Road.
Is
that good for you?
That's great. Honey, I got you an open road for Valentine's Day. I figure that covered me.
That covers you. The road will be great when it opens. You're going to have complete 14-foot drive routes. You're going to have bike lanes, turn lanes, shoulders. It's going to improve traffic so much better with all those large trucks that come at you down that
Dogs
road.
Dogs and cats living together.
Everyone's happy.
Yeah.
And then right after we finish that around Valentine's Day, we'll be going to South Clark Road to improve and make that place greater.
And then we're closing down traffic on to West Fort Hood, right?
Yes, we'll be shutting down traffic to West Fort Hood. Montague, we'll still be able to get to Montague.
Right.
However, during the first phases, that one's broken into three phases, so pay attention to future postings. You're going to see all the maps come out.
Right.
You will not be able to get from Montague to West Fort Hood. You will actually have to leave Post and come in either Cove Gate or Mohawk to go down to the business area of West Fort Hood.
Oh, wow.
Is Cove Gate open now?
It is not open right now. It will open around February 14th when we move to Phase 2.
Okay. And Mohawk is?
Mohawk is open.
That was a year-long process to finish that road, right?
That was. And
a year
plus. It's a great road.
Okay.
It's a beautiful road to drive down, nice, smooth, no bumps. You can take your Corvette and just fly down that road.
Not that you should follow all posted speed limits. We advise that.
We do advise follow your posted speed limits.
Talk to me about East Range Road and all that. There's something happening now.
Yes. So we shut down, and I apologize to all the travelers if you didn't catch it. We shut down the East Range Road ACP. You cannot get on to Main Catomet from East Range Road or North Nolan.
Let me be the voice of those people and say, they don't forgive you. You are not forgiven.
No.
And to translate ACP, access control point, or to the us laymans, a gate.
A gate.
Mm-hmm. How to get in and off.
Yes, and that one's awful because it would be a 30, 45-minute detour. Right. Or longer to if you missed it. So we're trying to get it out there, promise you.
Hey, you know, a thing you could do if you missed that and that detour, that waiting, you could listen to the podcast, couldn't you?
You could listen to the podcast.
Yeah, because we have older episodes. So if you're just jumping in now, you could listen to the first one, the deep cut, the next one, whatever came after that. I don't even know at this point.
That is true. You can definitely get in there. So we'll be shutting that down for 20 days. It allows us, we've got a failed culvert there, worried about water over top of the road causing danger. So we're replacing all the ground culverts and we'll get you a better system there so we don't flood
first,
you out.
Right?
Safety first.
Yeah.
When you do something like that, about how long do you expect the new culvert to last before it will be replaced again?
We usually plan up for, these are going in concrete, so they should last around 50 years with proper maintenance.
Very good. So 20 days now, and the next 50 years, you're good to go?
You should be good to go.
You should be out of the Army by then. I'm just saying.
There we
go. You probably should.
We all should be retired. Because remember, this is short-term pain for a long-term gain for all of us.
Absolutely.
Cha-ching.
There you go.
Kira, how much do you drive around Post, and are you feeling affected by all of this?
I drive a lot around Post, and I don't know, I feel like ever since I've been at Fort Hood, I've been affected by all the issues with getting places.
She got here in June.
Oh, goodness gracious. Yes, you have a lot going on, but it is good at the end. We had just to go back in our history just a little bit, I'm making it better. We improved the intersection on Tank Destroyer and Clark Road, where we added the dedicated right-hand turn lanes. Mm-hmm. So anyone with the civilians or the military families over there in Comanche that got held up by large trucks trying to make rights and lefts, and then, you know, they would kind of come into your lane because it was really tight there. You know, now you've got a wonderful intersection that everyone can use and get trucks and vehicles moving in the right direction a little bit faster. Shouldn't be hung up at the light as long.
It does seem like all of a sudden we have all this road construction going on. Why is that?
We have, at the DPW, we have our future plans and everything, and we've gotten a large, due to the planning and the programming that we've put into the efforts, we were able to get a lot of additional funding from MCOM, which is our command that sends us down our funding, to put towards these programs, showing that we have deficiencies, putting good plans in front of them, sending them good numbers to get the projects. Mm-hmm. The design team in our office has been excellent as developing all these projects to get them out the door.
So this didn't happen overnight?
No, these have been years. We usually work on a five-year plan. Right. So we have our plans for the next 5 years of where we're going to go. And we continue to work those plans. We market those plans to MCOM to get resources, to get additional funding. We develop them. We get them ready so that in case additional funding comes down, we're ready. We always say Fort Hood's ready to take the money. We can execute anything. That's how we get a lot of our large projects that affect the soldiers, civilians, and everyone across the post.
I imagine that 5 years ago there was some colonel who had a big map and had a team of people, and he was like, soldiers, I need you to come up with a comprehensive plan of how in 5 years we can cheese people at Fort Hood off. Where can we put this traffic? Here's our options.
It's not really thought of that way. We have there's been some tools developed that we come out and do surveys, especially when we talk about like pavement. They do I think it's an every 2 year event. They come out there and we reevaluate all of our pavement to see the conditions on the failing and how long that pavement's going to last. So, you know, we talk about, you know, green, amber, red. We want to keep our pavement in the green zone. And it's a lot cheaper if you catch it in the amber zone and bring it back up to the green zone before you let it go to complete failures. So Clark Road was at a complete failure, which is why you see such a large amount of effort put into it.
Yeah.
And it shut down for so long. TD was a yellow. So while it had deteriorated, it's at a point that we can still save it and get a lot more in longevity if we take care of it. So going out there, putting that mill and overlay is going to increase the longevity of that road. So we don't have to suffer through a complete reconstruction of that road, which would cost millions and millions of dollars, as well as be very painful for all the families, civilians, soldiers, anyone that takes that primary route.
Now I got a question. So what's the difference between a green road, a yellow road, and a red road? Is that just some potholes? Is that, I mean, what is it?
It's how much of those things. So you have small amounts of cracking. So the whole point of our roads is they should be smooth. They should be consistent, no cracking, you know, beautiful black asphalt, as we like to say, or concrete. But typically our roads are asphalt here. If you get small amounts of cracking in your road, which will happen over time due to deterioration, you know, the first steps is, hey, we can go out there and crack seal or apply what we call a slurry mix, which is just a very top coat. It's a wearing course that just gives that road longevity. We've seen a lot of those mixes going on. That's when you look out and you see and go, they painted the roads. I mean, that's what you would say. Oh, they painted the roads.
Suddenly it's darker
it's
than it
really,
was.
Really, really dark.
And shiny.
Yeah, it looks like they just painted it. Well, it's not just paint. It's actually an asphaltic mixture with sand and some wearing courses, and it's very thin. And that gives that road another, you know, 5 years of lifespan is what
I've been told.
Ironsides was like that. We did Clear Creek a couple years ago. And we've done a lot of parking lots recently in the last year. Not the prettiest thing when you go and look at it up close, but it gives you a beautiful black surface and it's a wearing course. If you're past the point of just replacing small amounts of cracks, you could go into larger cracks. Sometimes you'll develop all the way into a pothole. You can do what they call a spot repair. That's when you see us on the side of the road, exactly what they're doing right finished at TJ Mills. That's a spot repair. There was a large amount of cracking in the area. We dig it up. We refix the whole foundation of it. We'll come back, place new asphalt, and that's going to last a lot longer in the long scheme of life.
Okay.
Once you get to the condition of everyone, how they remember Clark Road, large cracking, you know, looks like alligator skin. It's actually called alligator cracking.
Right.
You get to that, you've basically lost your actual structural foundation of the road, and that's when we have to do complete reconstruction.
Which was Clark Road. Right.
And if you drive around Post, you'll notice and a few other roads. We do try to keep them from getting to that point because it's a safety concern. You start losing your road, the road gets thinner. You'll develop large potholes that you can't see, huge water. You can't shed the water off. It becomes a driving hazard during rain. It's a major concern, so we want to keep everyone safe.
When you were talking about the slurry mixes and stuff, and you said it had sand in it, does that include, like, small rocks and stuff? Because I got a bone to pick with the roads here in Texas. See, I'm a kind of seasoned driver. I've been driving since I was 16. I've driven in Kansas. I've driven in Minnesota. I've driven in Texas. I've driven between the three. I've driven in Japan. So since I was 16, so don't ask me to do math, but between then and now, the amount of times I had a broken windshield due to a rock or anything on the road was zero. I come here about a year ago to Texas. I've already had to have my windshield replaced once. And we're 2 months later, I've got another chip in the window.
So, yes, actually, there is an application called a chip seal. Due to large amounts of feedback from everybody concerning that, as well as a very big safety issue for motorcycles because it releases gravel, we actually don't do that application typically on Fort Hood anymore. We did it in the past many, many years ago. It was a very much of a learning lesson. People with cracked windshields and the motorcycles when they turn, because that application, they put a large layer of sticky tack, I'm going to call it a sticky tack, basically, just a tacky coat. And then they go and they drive over it with gravel. And then they wait a couple hours, and then they just sweep up all the loose gravel.
Right.
Well, if it wasn't perfectly adhered and the sweeper didn't grab it, then you get your beautiful rocks. And that is a very prominent thing that the communities around the area do put a chip seal. It's another wearing course.
Right.
Like I said, we don't like to do it on Fort Hood anymore, and we have not had a project that's had that in the last... at least 5 years that I remember.
But does Texas do it, though?
Texas does. The TxDOT does it, as well as the outlying communities. It is a very good wearing course, however.
Can't blame it on Fort Hood.
No. And this is, I am not trying to point the finger at Fort Hood, but there should be a sign as soon as you enter the state that says, "Welcome to Texas, windshields, abandon all hope, ye who enter here," because they're going down.
Yes, that is very, very true. The CHIPS application, and due to a large amount of feedback from Fort Hood, we do not do that style on Fort Hood.
Well, state of Texas, if you're listening, get your act together. Take a look at Fort Hood, how we're doing things. We've got a winning team here, a winning plan, and I'm tired of replacing my windshield.
The real reason we're the great place.
Yeah.
We listen to y'all's feedback when you have comments.
We appreciate that. Or my windshield does.
I know it does. Mm-hmm. But yeah, loose gravel is a problem.
One last point. I mean, you talked about the gate at mm-hmm. East Range Road, but the actual road is going to go under construction then afterwards, right?
Yeah. So on East Range Road, and everyone knows that's a very, very long road.
Yeah.
There actually is a spot which is a low-lie area, and during typical rain events, it does flood over, which is a major safety hazard. We do not want to mm-hmm. have anyone, turn around, don't drown, all those programs, but sometimes that water just creeps up on you, do not see it, and this one is one of those spots.
Mm-hmm.
So we are replacing the culvert system there to allow the water to pass then under the road right. so that we will not have flooding events. That is going to kick off around February 24th,
mm-hmm.
and while it is one spot,
mm-hmm.
most of East Range Road will be open. It will not be a thoroughfare. You cannot cross East Range between Gatesville to Fort Hood.
Right.
So you're going to have to take, that is your primary route to cross it, you're going to have to, if you're a POV, take an alternative route.
Right.
So we're going to shut that down probably for about a month and a half. They're still working on the dates. We're expecting it to be reopened around, how am I over here, April 13th. So around
put
tax
it in
day,
perspective, that detour is
it's substantial.
That's a big detour.
We will have signs posted, like right when you exit the ACP, warning about it,
mm-hmm.
And we'll have signs up there near the Gatesville area when you're coming off of the roads up there.
Right.
But again, if you miss the signs, because they won't be in the road to block you, they're going to be off to the side, warning there's no through. You
right.
can't drive through.
Mm-hmm.
So just be aware of that. Keep your eyes open for all these construction sites. There's a lot of good guys out there working, and we don't want an accident.
Well, and still, even though, a little over a month mm-hmm. for that, and it's a bit of a pain,
mm-hmm.
sure, but take a look at what they're doing with 35 out there. Highway 35, when did they start that? They started that shortly after World War II ended, and now they're saying maybe 2050 will be maybe there.
And now you got 190 under construction, too.
Yeah.
Or, I-14. It's got I-14. Two names.
They're yeah. closing us in.
Yeah.
What other state does this go to, I-14?
I have no idea.
That's an interstate,
interstate.
Right?
It means it's got to cross somewhere.
Didn't it stop at land passes?
I thought it did.
Hey, if you're listening to this and on I-14, drop us a line at forthoodpao@gmail.com. We want to hear from you. What state are you in?
Michelle, thank you very much for coming by.
Anytime.
Yeah, we will be bringing you back. You got more projects?
Lots of projects.
Tell us all about it.
And for all those maps and stuff that we were talking about, and to get the latest information on where those road construction is going to be, where the detours are and all that, check the Fort Hood Facebook page, because we'll have those up there in a timely yep. fashion mm-hmm. so that this is going to be hopefully as smooth like butter.
Yep. We are making the great place greater. And again, we're short-term pain for long-term gain. We're trying to get out of there with you. Get it done and move on.
Thanks, Michelle.
All right.
Thank you.
Now I need you to say, and we'll be back right after this.
And we'll be back right after this.
Very good.
Perfect.
Hey, everybody, let's practice space heater safety. Unless you want to kill your friends and family, and in that case, don't. Wait. Let's do it. Yay. Don't put papers and magazines near your portable space heaters. Does anyone even have newspapers and magazines in 2020? Make sure your space heaters are plugged directly into walls. Don't use expansion cords. Don't place heaters on tables or carpets or cabinets. I want to see the guy who can place a heater on top of a cabinet, but don't do it. Just take a picture and take it down right after. I'll give you my email at the end of this thing. Wait, no, stalker. And unplug your heater when you're not at home. Unplugged heaters can't kill you. Yay! You can keep safe and warm this year. Also, what are you doing with a space heater? This is Texas.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, we're back.
You're doing so well.
Okay.
Give it a shot.
Hi, we're back, and this time we're with Sergeant Major Harold
Cole.
Harold Cole and Jose
Munoz. Master Sergeant.
No, I know. I'm trying to make sure I get the names right.
Master Sergeant Jose.
Master Sergeant Jose
Munoz.
Close enough.
Sorry, Master Sergeant.
No, you're good.
With the Community Life NCO program.
Absolutely. The Community Life NCO program has been around at Fort Hood for a long time, but since you came on board, Sergeant Major, tell us a little bit about what y'all do now.
Okay, so just like Dave said, the program has been around for quite some time, but right about June of 2019, we kind of reinvigorated the program. So I think some of the big differences, really, so we got some great guidance from the core leadership, garrison leadership, and then so we saw where there were some gaps that existed in the program. So we got some new NCOs on board. It re-energized some of the NCOs that have been around for a while. But really what we did was we got the garrison commander to sign an SOP. So I think that's where we really start with, is that garrison commander gave some great guidance on the SOP. And that's really...
That standard operating procedure for all you civilians out there.
That's right. And so that standard operating procedure is really an agreement between the garrison commander and the community life NCOs. Right. And so that's where we really started from.
Okay. Master Sergeant Munoz, tell me what some of the newer things that we're doing now, because you guys are actually very involved in the move-in process for soldiers.
We are. Tell
me about it.
Well, you are correct, sir. Dave, we are correct. You are correct. We've been involved in on this, heavily involved. I've been on the seat since April of last year.
Yeah.
And there was some of the things that we're doing now that we weren't doing before is, for example, we accompany every single one of the showings that they have before the new resident comes in for E5s and below, and an occasional sergeants and below, and occasional E6 and above as well. It all depends. We are just like, for example, we drive around and we see a resident, we approach them and see, hey, how's everything going? Have you had any issues? Anything we can help you with? Mm-hmm. And we don't just focus per se on housing. It's whatever comes
our
way.
Quality
of life. Right. Exactly. That is the correct term, the quality of life. And it involves a big array of things. Mm-hmm. So that's mainly what we've been focusing on.
And if I could jump in, so Master Munoz mentioned that the program really focuses on sergeant and below, but we think it's a good news story, a success for the program, because we have some senior leaders that will reach out to us and say, hey, you know, I'm signing for a home on this particular date. Can you send a community life NCO out to accompany us with that walkthrough? And that tells us that the program is working, that the leaders or the families in general on Fort Hood understand that there's some assistance when they go through and look at these homes.
And some of the issues that I've had before, for example, when I first took over, we were approached by senior leadership who didn't even know who we were,
right.
Didn't know anything about the program. And that has subsided to a big time, because we've got the level of involvement has been such a great, we had such a great push that most senior leadership, at least, they're aware of our program now.
When the town hall started, and I was there covering them from, you know, last year in February to now. I mean, there's another one coming up in March. They were talking, the big thing that Fort Hood was trying to do was engage the leadership into the process. And what I've heard over and over in the town halls, at least the last two or three, that the community life NCO program is the eyes and ears for the brigade commander. Explain that for me.
So absolutely. So the biggest thing the community life NCO does is their presence. So presence in the community means they get to meet with these families on a daily basis, and then also have some touch points with the community managers, right? They're the property managers of the homes. But those community life NCOs go out and they meet with families, and they may be notified through Master Sergeant Munoz or myself or the brigade leadership, and then we'll say, hey, we need some feedback on this family situation, what they're going through with their home. Mm-hmm. And then so those community life NCOs go out, talk to the families one-on-one, and just based on that presence alone, we get feedback from that particular family on just maybe some of the challenges they're facing or just general assistance. Sometimes families don't know what they don't know, and then we can help them out with that.
Hi, Charlie Mabe here, Fort Hood Public Affairs. I have a question. Sorry, Dave and I are sharing a mic here, so I'm actually standing in the back, and I have to walk up. I am intimately close to Dave right now.
I can verify that.
So when people people out there are having a housing issue, their first place to turn shouldn't necessarily be the Facebook page, and it shouldn't necessarily be their neighbor. It should be you guys.
So, Charlie, the word we're getting out to the families, we want the first person for them to turn to be that community manager.
Okay.
So that's where we're steering our families. Go to your community manager first.
All right. I'll get out of your lap now.
So your lane, because there is Lindley's Fort Hood Family Housing.
Yes.
And you guys are here basically supporting the brigade that oversees
each
community. How many communities are we talking about how many people?
So we have 12 communities. So we have approximately 5,600 plus homes, a little over 5,600 homes. Mm-hmm. But 12 communities. Now, sometimes you may hear the community life NCOs and us refer to them as 13 communities. We have Comanche because it's so big. Comanche 3 is split into an east and a west. Mm-hmm. But really, there's 12 communities. We refer to them as 13.
This is a Fort Hood unique program. The feedback I got from the spouse of the family I talked to out at Kuma Village was very positive for the program. Do you see this, that maybe it should be something that should be broader across the Army?
So I will say from my foxhole, from my position, working in the housing office, yes. So the answer to the question is yes. So we've had some leaders that have reached out from other installations and said, hey,
ABLM is one.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. We had a sergeant major reach out just yesterday and say, hey, you know, I was at Fort Hood, understand what the installation is doing with the community life program, and said, we want to implement that here at this installation. So could you send us your products, tell us what it is that your community life program is all about, and then we want to institute that at that particular mm-hmm. installation.
Okay. Since 3 Corps extends for so many different military bases and states across the United States, of course, that helps as well to get the word out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say at my last duty station, a lot of people, especially like fresh out of basic and AIT, they're just ready to get out of the basics mm-hmm. or get out of the barracks.
Right.
They want to go get a house, and some of them have never lived in a house by themselves. They don't know what to look for. They don't know what they're really signing for. They're just trying to get the paperwork done and move in. So I think it's a really good...
I will tell you, PFC Pearl, we may offer you a job before we leave. So that was a great spiel, because that's really what the program is all about. It's getting that young, inexperienced family who has not PCS'd many times, if at all, and then bringing them aboard, because they don't, like I said previously, they don't know what they don't know. And it's just great to have some seasoned NCO accompanying that family during that walkthrough to just point some things out to the family. So that was great.
That is exactly the reason why the program, we reinvigorated the program for that specific reason, is geared towards those first term soldiers. And for that matter, being the fact that we're the only ones that have that program that I know of as of now, you also have those E6s and below who've been other places but never Fort Hood, and they're figuring out that we have a good thing going. And since it's an evolving program, I know we can only get better. And thanks to your input, definitely is something that we can all benefit from.
So Charlie Mabe here, Fort Hood Public Affairs again. Dave and I have now switched spots because we're an equal opportunity podcast. So he's now standing in the back. I am here.
He's going to hold your leg later.
Yeah. Off air, things will get spicy. But you mentioned it was an evolving program. Mm-hmm. And so if soldiers or family members have ideas, ways to maybe tweak it, or maybe something you haven't thought of, who should they contact?
So that's what we like about us. That's a great question, Charlie. So based on that community life NCO presence within their respective community or village, they can contact the community life NCO. And so that happens on a daily basis really well. They may see some family just in the neighborhood, and that CLNCO goes up and introduces himself or herself. And then those families offer up suggestions on, hey, have you thought about doing this? Have you thought about, you know, bringing this to the community life program, or having the community life NCOs give some education about something going on within that community? So they can get that information or feedback directly from the families.
All right, and I have one final question for you guys, and that is, what if I'm somewhere on Fort Hood, I'm listening to this podcast, and I'm thinking, hey, this is sounds great. Who is my Family Life NCO? How do people get that information if they don't know?
Awesome. So the first thing is, we want to thank the Core PAO for helping us get that message out there. Mm-hmm. But really, there's a couple of different arenas or platforms we use. So number one, the Community Life NCO, along with us, we attend all of the brigade level and above town halls. So we publicize that information. And then we've recently created some Facebook pages. So each village has a unique Facebook page for that community. And so the Community Life NCOs this week, as of yesterday, are in the process of creating QR codes for their respective villages. And so now they'll just be out and about, and they can just show a family a QR code. They scan it with their phones, because everything is smartphones nowadays. Mm-hmm. And then that takes them to the Facebook page created for their community.
That is very high speed. That is awesome.
That's really nice.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the podcast today. It was really great having you. Is there anything else you want to get out there that people should know?
So I will say yes. So one thing we try to encourage our families, you give me a microphone. So one thing we want to encourage our families to not do is suffer in silence. So every town hall we visit, you know, that's the last word we try to say is, sometimes we don't know what it is about the homes. We don't know what we don't know. So if a family feels there's some sort of concern, just contact us. It may be a concern. It may not be. But at the end of the day, don't suffer because you didn't bother to tell us. Right, so don't suffer in silence.
I like that slogan. You don't know what you don't know.
That's right.
That's our podcast slogan.
one more thing too, as well. I know there's a certain way to address things. For example, if you have an issue, experience issues at home, you are to contact. We tell them to contact their manager. But at the same time, feel free to jump all of those layers if you want to and contact us directly. We're we're green sorters, so we work. We never have time off, and and both of us I've been addressing sometimes issues at 4 a.m. Get a phone call from somebody in Poland, a commander or whatever.
That's right.
That's what I'm here for. This is all I do. This is my life. So for the next two and a half years, I'm here. Use us.
So whenever somebody has a problem, contact you. No excuses.
No excuses.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you guys again. And we will be right back after these highly informative messages. Don't laugh.
So it's tax season, everyone's favorite holiday. Hopefully everyone's present is a large sum of money. However, if you're bad at math like I am, the Fort Hood Tax Center has your back. With educated and friendly staff, they are sure to get you the most of your refund. The FHTC will be open from January 21st through April 16th, with business hours being 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Thursday and Friday, and 9:30 a.m. through 7 p.m. on Thursdays. For information on how the FHTC can help you, make a call to 254-288-7995. Make your appointment today. FHTC located on 52nd and Support, Building 13.
So, are you making any New Year's resolutions?
I make them, but I tend not to keep them. You know, lose some weight, work out more, get in better shape.
Well, here's an idea. Why not make a resolution to help someone other than yourself this New Year and become a volunteer?
Volunteer, huh? Right here at Fort Hood? How do you go about doing that?
Well, let's hear from the big voice guy. He knows everything.
That's right. To find out more about becoming a volunteer at Fort Hood, give the Army Volunteer Corps office a call at 287-8657 or stop by their office in the Shoemaker Center. You'll find them on the second floor in Building 36,000 on Darnall Loop.
Uh-oh, I bumped my head.
Fort Hood's Great Big Podcast, now available at those fancy schmancy streaming sites.
Kyra, the show is just about over. How'd you feel you did?
I feel like I was really nervous. It was hard to loosen up and get ready to talk.
But much improved, right? You feel better?
Yes, I do.
Yeah? Want to do it again?
I would love to do this again.
You would?
Yes. Well. Brianna, are you listening?
Uh-huh.
You've got competition. It's funny as she's not here.
Right.
And I say that I'm staring at an empty seat.
Yeah, you are.
Brianna, are you listening? Ghost of Brianna. Not that she's passed. She's
still at the range.
Yeah, she's at the range.
She probably wishes she was here.
Getting wet.
Oh my gosh, does she? Occasionally I've been getting texts from her.
Oh, no.
This is miserable. Why are they doing this to me? Well,
she's
Brianna,
here in spirit.
Yeah, it's because you joined the army.
Yeah.
This is welcome to the army.
They gave you snivel gear. Go
it's
lay in that
place.
Water.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, what do we got next week?
Some super secret stuff. I was looking at the board. We have something. I drew a blank last week. What do you got coming up today? Hell.
Come on, Charlie.
Lordy, Lord. Okay.
We are hoping to get a celebrity interview,
right? We are,
but
right? I don't want to say who. I don't want to say who.
Come on.
I want it to be a secret. But it's a maybe. It's an iffy thing. Recycling? Recycling. That's fun. You're a young person. How do you feel about recycling?
Recycling is really important, as long as you do it right.
Do you think the world is going to end in 10 years if we don't get the climate under control?
I don't know about the 10-year timeline, but
well, that's the number yes. they keep throwing out, 10
is
years.
Is it?
Yeah.
I feel like they always throw out 10 years. Next year, it'll be
they,
10 years again.
They do. They've been saying 10 years since I was a kid.
When was the world supposed to end?
10 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, we got recycling. Recycling is a good deal. And I want to remind everybody, stop throwing your dead animals in the recycling bins.
Yeah, I saw that story.
Here.
What?
Yeah, we ran that story in the Fort Hood Sentinel, Fort Hood's greatest and only newspaper.
And only.
But no, they've had a problem with people putting dead animals in the recycling bin.
If you put anything in the recycling bin that isn't recyclable, that entire bag or batch is not able to be recycled, so it's just tainting it all.
Is that a question or are you stating that as fact?
No, I'm stating that as a fact.
All right.
Like that's why they get so mad whenever you try to throw trash into or trash bags into the recycling dumpsters.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because the entire thing can't be recycled if there's any trash contaminants in there.
Wow, you're an expert. Maybe we should have her back.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll have all that and more next week. All the recycling
cool.
talk you can recycle. I don't know. You can shake a stick at.
You're recycling the conversation.
And
huh?
more. Yeah, pretty much. And I think that's a sign that we need to end this.
It's been real. It's been fun.
Yeah.
Has it been real fun?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Well, thanks for playing. And
thank
we
you for
hope to
me.
See you again soon.
Yep. And next week, more Brianna. Maybe, if they don't send her something.
Yeah.
So, see y'all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Tar starts thinning and cracks crumble. The gravel lands just on the travel.